Cluster Conversations, a podcast by Africa Multiple.
Welcome everybody to the latest episode of the Cluster Conversation. My name is Valentina Serrelli. I am Professor of Arabic Studies at the University of Bayreuth, and I am a member of the Cluster Africa Multiple. I'm here today to introduce our fellow Professor Elshifa El Amin, for whom I'm honored also to serve as academic host here in Bayreuth. Prof. El Amin is an assistant professor at the Ahliya University in Omdurman in Sudan, where she's also currently the director of the Department of English Language and Literature. As you know, since April 2023, so 1 year ago, in Sudan there is an ongoing war between the armed forces and the rebel forces, which are known as Janjaweed. As the war goes on and many civilians have lost their homes and were forced to flee the country, in this unfortunate context, Prof. El Amin obtained a fellowship from the cluster within the program of for displaced scholars. And she's now here working on a project on the coloniality of language in Sudan. So I'm happy now to give her the floor, and I would simply ask her to start by presenting her project and maybe telling us more about the concept of the coloniality of language and how this applies to the Sudanese context.
Thank you very much, Prof. Valentina Serrelli, for having me today. I'm so grateful to the Cluster Conversation podcast team for providing me this invaluable opportunity to address you today and to share my research experience. Before I start cooperating with this question, let me extend my gratitude to the University of Bayreuth, the African Multiple Cluster of Excellence, the Dean of the Cluster, the Research Committee, and the Research Section members for the fellowship. I also want to say thank you very much, especially to you, my academic host, Professor Valentina Serrelli, for unwavering support and collaboration in helping me achieving my research goals. Thank you so much.
You're welcome. I'm honored to have you here.
Yes, according to your question about the definition of the coloniality of language, let me start to thank you again for this interesting question. The coloniality of language refers here, first of all, to the marginalization of Sudanese indigenous language in favor of Arabic language. This is the first definition of what did I mean by coloniality of language. In my research on the colonial legacy of language policies in Sudan, as you know that Sudan is very complicated country. It has very social linguistic context differ from other countries in Africa. So this led me to explore the marginalization of indigenous Sudanese language. To do this, I displayed the linguistic landscape of Sudan as a linguistically diverse and characterized by linguistic density and diversity. In Sudan, as you know that Sudan is very large country in east north of Africa, having well over than 100 indigenous languages belong to 3 out of the 4 language families of Africa. And this is the census about languages just presented by Greenberg many years ago, but let me say here to remind the lack of recent census in Sudan as a result of the complexity of the political situation in Sudan nowadays. Sadly, despite of the huge numbers of this language, no consideration, no attention paid to these languages in Sudanese educational policies, which continue to favor and promote the same language since the colonial time, extended between 1898 to 156. According to what I said or I mentioned about the coloniality of language, and according to this special language linguistic landscape paradigm, I talk about coloniality of language in relation to marginalization and domination. My definition of coloniality evoke here, in particular, two dichotomies, marginalization vis-a-vis domination, okay? And inferiority vis-a-vis superiority, which is presented by Voronoi and Blaig. The colonial regime and post-colonial government imposed Arabic as an official language, promoting it to use in formal settings, education and institution, media, and as a means of daily life communication, or what we call it, lingua franca, while English is the colonial language, was used as a second language since till 1989, and then it is shifted rankly to be a foreign language later. Secondly, coloniality of language means I utilize the concept of coloniality of language in relation to racialization of language. That is, implication of the British regime policies that resulted in racialization language through creation of racial, linguistic, geographical, and religious boundaries between South Sudan and North Sudan. What is new with my research here? I connected colonial language policies, or the colonial legacy, with the current socio-political discourse and political conflicts as represented by Juba Peace Agreement that I analyze. I am going to talk about it later. Finally, coloniality of language, which I refer to in my research, intertwines with the symbolic function of language. It intertwines with the symbolic function of the language, or the power of language, which means that language has a fundamental role on culture. This is a fact. Language influence or impact culture and ideology, besides identity construction. And this is a complex relation with social categories and positionality, like gender, intersections, by class. All this concept I try to make or to conceptualize through a rationale depend on Kojono 2000 has theorized the coloniality of power, accompanied by additional rationale provided by historical and sociolinguistic studies of many scholars from Sudan and outside of Sudan, like Abdul Hay Miller, Abu Manga, Horace, and so many, Benny Cook. Thank you so much.
Al-Shifa, for this first introduction of your project and the concept of coloniality of language. I would like now to make maybe a step back to just keep everybody in the picture. Your work revolves around the claim that language policies in post-colonial Sudan, which means up to nowadays, before and after the separation of former Sudan in two different countries in 2011. So your claim is that the language policies since have been reminiscent of colonial policies. They are still colonial in a way. So maybe it's useful for us if you refresh us to mind like how these actual policies have been since the colonial times and up to nowadays, which is the period in which you focus more.
Thank you, very interesting question. According to my research investigation, my aim is to provide an insight, new insight, how my research established historical and sociolinguistic connection between the colonial and post-colonial agreement in terms of language policies. This is the main concern of my research. So the language policies in Sudan, if I want to make a brief survey or overview about the nature of the language policy in Sudan, have been a source of contention over the past few years. While some support Arabic till now as the language of choice, others oppose this policy that employ Arabic as official and language to be used in educational settings and everywhere in media and as a means of communication. So historically, I use the historical background to say that the British regime utilized mechanism including organization of colonial language language conferences such as the Rajiv Language Conference, which is held in 1928, and the closed district order, which excluded Arabic and Islam from the South. For me, for my research, it is worth noting that the British associated Arabic and Islam with the North Sudan, projecting it as the Muslim Arab, and the South associated with English and Christianity, with projecting it as Christian and English or African country or African part or region. After independence of Sudan in 1956, the Addis Ababa Agreement of 1927 designated Arabic as an official language of Sudan, while English still was chosen as the primary language in southern region. The agreement also allows the use of indigenous language in certain exclusive domain in South Sudan region, including their promotion and use as a medium of instructions. And this is, I think, limited use for these languages. No space, no attention paid still for the indigenous language to be used as officially as a medium of instruction and education system. From two, let me also shift and survey the language policies from 2005 to 2011. A new language policy was implemented after the Nivasha Agreement conference. And the language policies at this time, pursued by post-colonial regime, continued to promote the colonial monolingual ideology. Still, Arabic language is the first language of the language of the country, the sole official language, and Islam as the official religion, as seen in previous policies. Nothing is new. English also continue to be official language in South Sudan as the medium of instruction and language of outside communication with other countries. And this is what Nivasha said about language policies. Unfortunately, if I want to say something or the demerits or limitation of this policy, unfortunately, all these policies have been failed to offer solution, or it provides just poor implementation and lack of consideration for the country's sociopolitical, because Sudan is social, political, and economical complex country. The reality, we need another solution. We need, in fact, the policy were primarily just designated for negotiation purposes to end the war between South and the North of Sudan. As a result, unfortunately, by the end, all the agreement had many idealistic aspirations that did not align with the country's practical needs. By the end, Sudan, South Sudan separated from the North and it became one country. And as Sudanese always say, that it is an independence, it is not a separation for them, for the South Sudan people. The last step was the Juba Peace Agreement, and this is why main concentration in my research that assigned in 2020. The agreement was assigned in Juba, the capital of South of Sudan, between Sudanese government and five rebel groups. The nature of the agreement, designed to include more than one tracks. Each tracks treated different kind of problems in Sudan in general, and in particular for the certain regions. We have the eastern track, western track, and we have the central and northern part track and east track. All these tracks exist separately and use a unique issue. Some protocols are regarded as national and common to all tracks. It concerned me in this regard about Juba Peace Agreement, that the track-based approaches to addressing socio-political problems in Sudan means that language provisions are scattered. This is what is an important point, what I'm going to to talk about here, because the language policies scatter across tracks, specific protocol and federal level tracks. The power sharing protocol in Juba Peace Agreement, for instance, emphasizes the need to develop and promote local language and culture. Very interesting. Meanwhile, the National Issues Protocol mandates that all Sudanese language be considered national languages. It is very good insight here. That should be equally respected, developed, and celebrated. This is one part I think it is very interesting. Presented in Juba Peace Agreement about Sudanese languages as the same reiterated like the other agreements for the analysis when we come to show the results of this research. The North Track also section include provisions promoting Nubian language, that language is spoken in the north part of Sudan and other Nubian mountains. More than 44 tribes speaking. Lastly, I can say that the Western Track section contains similar statement that highlights the need to respect linguistic diversity and condemn any form of discrimination based on gender, class, ethnicity, religion, affiliation, and so on. Thank you so much.
So these are surely very, very good principles and very, very good words to be written on the agreement, but I think you can say something more about how and to what extent this was implemented, or this there was like a real wish and will to implement it, even if not concrete steps yet, but at least a concrete will to make these good wishes and good words become reality, right? So what are the real, I would say, consequences of the Juba Peace Agreement? Mm-hmm. Was it somehow applied?
Yes, thank you for this question, because I think that when we come to deliver deeply on in Juba Peace Agreement, we have primarily focus, return back or trace back my primary focus of my research to investigate the marginalization of indigenous language and provide a decolonial perspective. And my aim here is just a concentration in studying the language rights outlined in Juba Peace Agreement signed in 2020. The principle 1.25 that frames the Sudanese language right with knowledge and development. The right of Sudanese languages under the knowledge or the economic or development principle. If we take a look to this principle, it reiterated or restated the significance of Sudanese indigenous language, as it mentioned in the previous peace agreements in Sudan. The principle states that all Sudanese language shall be considered national language that should be equally respected, developed, and celebrated. And this is what I investigated and explored, how Juba Peace Agreement frames the Sudanese language within education and development, and how it intertwine the coloniality language in terms of the marginalization with the social issues. There is a connection between marginalization of language with the social and economical issue. What is implied here is that Juba Peace Agreement does not include straightforward endeavor to show how, when, and where. There is no any answer for this, how, when, and where indigenous language to be included in the educational language policies. However, the analysis also shows that Juba Peace Agreement primarily focused on economic development and its educational policy neglected the promotion of cultural diversity. The concept of high culture, coloniality, as we mentioned before, concentrate or define the high culture, low culture, It is a dark side of colonialism, world perspective, thinking about indigenous language as low cultures, and the Arabic is high culture, purity and inferiority of language, and it is a white perspective about this, and I think Juba Peace Agreement also failed to put it. And this led me to say that by the Juba Peace Agreement does not provide any practical solution to determine why and when, as I said, the promotion of indigenous cultures and language occurs. No explanation of this question at all. In fact, I could say that the Juba Peace Agreement contains principles in different tracks that requires more analysis. We need to analyze them deeply in another studies. This is a critical insight about the demerit of or specific limitation of the agreement according to presenting linguistic injustice. And this concept is a part of solution presented in Juba Peace Agreement principle, which is fundamentally a matter of failure to address a small portion of language policy issues. Very small portion, complex language solution, and this is complexity is a particularly noticeable in the context of indigenous language, where development, promotion, celebration should be linked to the autonomizing the fundamental reason beyond the exclusion of such languages.
So it seems that a lot of provisions.
There is a lot of to say about this, but it is a time. It is a matter of time. We have to be brief. Okay.
It seems that a lot of provisions just remain on paper. So this research is really fascinating and also very, very timely. May I ask you something a little bit personal? How did you arrive to this topic?
Yes, thank you. Thank you. This topic, I think it is not an easy topic to be investigated during a very short time period of time, because I think it is scattered here and there. There is a lot of aspect to be targeted and to be investigated, yet I am thinking about doing that in the coming phase of my research. But I think I am interested in this topic of language policy in Sudan after I joined Sudanese linguistic platform. It is a gather of experts and scholars from different parts of Sudan and outside of Sudan discussing new theories about the Sudanese colonial state and how can we participate in dismantling the construction of this state. Our discussion in over 100 webinars cover identity issues, racialization, gender problems, diversity management, linguistic diversity, marginalization, and all these issues, or the colonial legacy problems. And through this discussion, I have learned how to bring or how to deal with the new theories, colonial and decoloniality perspective, to think about how to apply these theories inside my classroom as a teacher, and how to fill or to bridge the gap between the theory and practice, to learn how to think out of the box and how to free yourself for the control of the monolingual ideology that we put it in during a long time of al-Bashir or Islamic regime in Sudan. We have to think just inside the box, how to bring all this theories of colonization, and how to think about to do something for to enrich the discussion about the real problem of our country. I learn a lot, so that when I come to my classroom as a university teacher, I face challenges in my classroom, because the classroom environment compromising mostly from non-Arab students from Darfur State, who struggle a lot to learn Arabic language. So I conversed with them numerously, with my students, how to realize that by the end there is a connection between standardization in higher education institution and Arab identity, put them under significant pressure regarding their race, culture, and language. and therefore I decide to contribute to research dismantling the demonizing of monolingual policy of Arabization, which is not conducive to promoting diversity and inclusivity with higher education institutions. I should be recognized and to participate together with my students by producing research and participate intellectually in decolonial vision of change as teachers, and to enlighten my students to think out of the classroom wall and to think about how they can address their personal issues in education and learning, and how they can identify and recognize their identity, are they are Sudanese, Arab, or African? And this is a very big question.
Yeah, it is. Thanks for mentioning this. And actually, this very topic of the students that study in Khartoum but come from Darfur State is a topic that is very dear to El Shifa, and this is the purpose why we've met and the purpose that brought her here for first time to contribute to a conference. So thank you for bringing this. And with an eye to the time, I would like to ask you a very last question that connects to this. And this is about your, like, the continuation of your research. You've kind of mentioned it that now you would like to go on the coloniality of language, but with a narrow focus on higher education. So maybe you could just briefly tell us where this would take you.
Yes, thank you again. My plan in my coming research to conduct research following another methodological approach by proposed by Mengelo and Scoba, that approach interwings institutional practice, knowledge, regime, and decolonial options. My focus will be on the impact of monolingual ideology that influence or affect the efficiency of knowledge production among university teachers and their research, teaching, translation activities. And another area I plan to investigate how language policies contribute to nation building, drawing rationale upon the work of Marconi, Savero, and Abdul Hay. With this aim, I will continue working on examining Juba Peace Agreement, especially the education and development principle, which include important provisions related to language policy in education setting, the principle 1.27, which states that transparency and free access to information shall be guaranteed for all citizens on equal footing in accordance with constitution and as regulated by law. And this is what I am going to do in my coming research plan. Thank you.
And this is what we're looking forward to, to read or to listen from your voice in after the upcoming months. So thank you very much again, El Shifa, Professor El Amin, for sharing with us your research findings, and thank to the listeners for tuning in.
Thank you very much to you, Professor Ely, and it is my pleasure.
Thank you.
Thank you.